We're going to turn back to the passage that I read a little bit earlier, namely the book of Genesis in chapter 17. Now, just over 2,500 years ago, there's a Jewish prophet by the name of Haggai, or Haggai, depends how you want to pronounce it. And in his book, Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, he wrote these words, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." That phrase, shaking the nations. Well, whatever the final and complete fulfillment of that particular prophecy by Haggai, we're in a time of what we can only call the shaking of the nations. And some of us wonder where things are going to go next. And it's a time of many uncertainties for so many in this world. The unending conflicts, the wars, the political divisions, the unrest, the conflicts between nations in so many ways and on so many issues, even when it's not war. And men of violence who kill innocent people in the name of their own particular religion. And terrorists who might strike us anywhere at any moment, and it's like a secret war, and a covered over war where we don't quite know what's going to happen next. And we wonder what on earth the way is going to be in this world when there's so much going on, which is so difficult to come to terms with in one way or another. And so many people wondering, well, what does the future hold? Is there really any hope for the future? Well, there is every hope for the future, because we have a God who is an ever-faithful God. And that's really the heart of what I want to share with you tonight. And this is part of the theme, really, of what we are reading in Genesis chapter 17. We're looking at this chapter and looking at Abraham, a man whose trust in God sometimes did actually falter, one of the great men of God of Old Testament times. And yet he knew that God was faithful. There were times when his faith faltered. So we're going to look at this particular part of the book of Genesis and think of Abraham and his experiences as it applies to us now. And three headings: faltering faith, God's faithfulness, God's covenant. Those three main points: faltering faith, God's faithfulness, and God's covenant. So my first main point is faltering faith. As I said, Abraham, well, he was a great man of God, and certainly amongst the greatest men of God and men and women of God in the Old Testament, because there are many faithful and remarkable women there in the Old Testament as well. He was a man of true faith, yes, there's no doubt about that. And yet there were times when he failed to trust in God as much as he should have done. And in consequence, there are times when he acted outside of God's will and did things, well, really, they were rather foolish and badly mistaken. And he experienced some of the consequences. Now, the point here is that God made repeated promises to Abraham, and those promises were repeated, they were very clear, they were very emphatic. That promise that you find in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 to 3, it's the covenant that God made with Abraham when he said, Genesis 12, 2 to 3, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, in essence, that promise is repeated in Genesis chapter 13, and then again in Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 and 6, and I will quote these verses, Genesis 15, 4 to 6, when God said to Abraham, "One who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he, that is Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, that is the Lord, accounted it to him for righteousness. Of course, Paul picks up on that point, or rather, yes, it is Paul and James, that Abraham was justified by his faith. But James elaborates a further aspect of what it means to live the life of faith. In Genesis 17, then, God finally reiterates his promise to Abraham, not least the promise that an heir was going to be born to him just 1 year hence, born to him through Sarah, and then through Sarah, the rest of God's covenant promise would then be brought to pass. It would be fulfilled in Sarah and the child that God had promised through Sarah. Now, in order to understand Abraham's failures and doubts in God, we need to take note of the total time span in all of this, because it tells us a lot. The time span between the very first promise that God made to Abraham and the final fulfillment, 1 year on from what we're reading in chapter 17. Well, in the first instance, God received that promise when he was 75 years old. Well, none of us would ever consider wanting a child at the age of 75, but there we are. It's the Middle East in a different era. But that's when that first promise came. But the birth of the actual promised heir, and that was God's son Isaac, Abraham was 100 years old. In other words, it was 25 years on from that original promise. It's a long wait. And meanwhile, he was getting older and older, and his wife Sarah getting way past normal childbearing age. But think about that, so long period of time, God's repeated promises. But how would you and I feel in that situation? We find a particular promise of God in the scripture that we seek to apply to whatever situation we're in, because it's so obviously applicable and relevant, various promises with it, and we pray, sometimes expecting an answer to come quickly, and it doesn't come. And we wait, and the days pass by, and then the weeks, and there seems to be no answer. And it could be months, or even years, as you begin to wonder if God is hearing your prayer, maybe. Where is God? Why doesn't he answer my prayer? I thought my situation was urgent. And we do come into those sorts of situations from time to time. And it would be very hard in that sort of situation. It's very hard to hold on with an unflinching faith to God's promise. Not that we lose our faith altogether, because even in these times of doubt, if we're true believers, we still hold on. Underneath, that faith is there, and it resurfaces from time to time. And then sometimes God's answer, it totally surprises us, just at the point where we do think it's impossible, and then suddenly God answers our prayer. But we can understand, can't we, why Abraham had this struggle, that from time to time he doubted, and then he acted wrongly. Now, Abraham at heart was a genuine man of faith, and he continued to be a man of faith all the way through his life, at least from that point that we read in Genesis 15, 4 to 6, where we're told that Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord accounted it to him for righteousness. Well, he was following the Lord before that, but at a particular point where it's quite clear that he was a true believer who was fully accepted by God because he was a man of faith, and a man who then sought to walk with God. He was a man of genuine faith, and yet on two very specific occasions, he doubted God. He failed to trust God's promise fully when he should have trusted God's promise fully. He had no reason for a lapse in faith. And the consequence was that on these two occasions in particular, he made decisions, he acted in a way that was contrary to God's will, and there were certain consequences that he experienced in a measure because of it, though God was very gracious to Abraham and overruled for him. As to Abraham's very first lapse of faith, he certainly had no excuse for it. It's back in chapter 12, when God had made that wonderful promise, that covenant promise, and it was a pledge